Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Deeper. I'm Austin Slater, and we have a special guest today because we've got Pastor Tim Hallerdo with us, and it's just Tim and I. We've officially kicked Dan out, at least for the week while he's in other meetings. And it's just the two of us. Tim, how are you doing today? It's good to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be here, be back. And yes. Hello to everybody out there. It's good to have you with us. I know you have some... We have some regular listeners, and I feel like we're in a good conversation.
So. Absolutely. It is a crazy day today. We're recording on Tuesday, and it's currently 71 degrees outside on February 27th, and I don't know what to do with myself.
The birds are singing.
I literally sat outside in the courtyard for like 3 hours just working on my computer because it was awesome. Warm enough to do that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Are you going to be doing anything to get outside today, or do you
only
think
to go and vote in the Michigan primary?
Yes, which everyone, if you haven't yet done that, actually, you know what? I realized this is coming out on Wednesday, so sorry if you haven't, if you didn't go and vote.
Too bad.
Too bad, too late. Yes, but you should have, so hopefully you did. So it's crazy. Tim, you did just wrap up your closing series of sermons here at Friendship, which is
yes,
kind of crazy.
It is. It's come kind of fast, and it was a full day.
It was a very, yeah, no kidding. So what did you preach about on Sunday? What was the content of that sermon?
Yeah, I diverged. The first two were on, sort of the journey theme. And this one, we went to one of Paul's letters. It's really, my wife was talking about it, and I said, you know, that's a great a text, just talking about partnership in ministry. And so that spun me into, you know, the first part of Philippians. And happened to be a missionary prayer letter, and I said, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. Just a way of communicating with the churches for their support and care and prayer and so forth. So, yeah, so we looked at that, and as I dug deeper during the week, just really zeroed in on that key verse on verse 6, that Paul is, his confidence and his gratitude and joy all came out of this truth that he was confident that God had done that work at Philippi and God would finish it.
Yeah.
So even though he was in prison and miles away, he wasn't worried about them.
And what an encouraging sermon. I mean, my wife and I were talking on the way back, and we were both very appreciative of that because, you know, we're all constantly in series of or times of transition, especially here at Friendship, especially, obviously, you yourself. And so that was just a very good way of, like, framing transition because we know who started it. We know who's going to finish it. And that just gives such peace no matter what your transition is.
Yeah, I thought for me personally, too, it just gave me a lot of comfort to put the focus off of us and the busyness of transition or the challenges that are still in front of us. And everybody has them. Mm-hmm. We're all in a journey, right? All of us are going through transitions of one kind or another, minor or bigger, excuse me. And, I was just touched by that, to realize that's the heart of the gospel, that this is God's work. Salvation is from the Lord, and it's not just the big stuff at the beginning when you become a Christian and the final stuff at the end when you die and go to glory.
It's the whole way through. But the whole thing.
He's the one at work to make us like Christ.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, very encouraging. We loved it. We're going to divulge from the traditional deeper format a little bit today because we could ask more questions about the sermon, but honestly, I think it was very clear. It made a lot of sense. and I wanted to take today and just ask a little bit more about y'all and your move and your transition, because it's a really unique one, a really exciting one. I do know that this has been a while coming. So you were saying yesterday it's been about a year that you guys have been praying about this.
Yeah, we first heard about this in February of 23. So at that time it was just a, hey, think about that. And then... But yeah, it's been in our conversations for a long time.
What have some of your fears been as you went into that season of discernment, trying to figure out, hey, is this actually what we're supposed to? How did you approach that when it first started?
Well, when it first started, it was just intriguing and interesting. It was like, wow, this is an interesting opportunity, and this seems to be a good fit. It sounds exciting. It's the kind of thing I'd like to do. Excuse me, but I'd say as it got serious and we were like, oh, this is something that we might actually be called to, then the fears were, they revolved a lot about the leaving, really. You know, fears of leaving friends and the church family here at Friendship and our kids and parents and all of that. Mm-hmm. And those are the real fears, I think, going into it.
And how did God come and kind of assuage those fears as you proceeded and as you got closer to making that decision? What made you feel like, oh, no, this is okay, this is God?
Yeah, I don't know if I've shared that with too many people, and it's not entirely my story, but a big part of it was just assurances that God gave to our kids. Hmm. As we were talking with them about it early on, we said, hey, this is a possibility, and we want you just to be praying about it and be aware about it and let you know that God really spoke to our kids, three of them in particular, during a YWAM-type conference in September called the Send.
Okay, and, I remember that.
A one-day praise and worship and preaching conference to mobilize young adults for missions. Mm-hmm. And three of my kids went, and they really felt God saying through that, I will provide for you. Hmm. And that was just when we got together and we talked about it, it was a very tearful and powerful moment to realize that God was speaking to the people that were going to be the hardest for us to leave.
Absolutely.
That God was going to be their provision. And that's a promise that God sort of spoke in different ways over the course of that discernment time, is that I will be your provision. And secondly, Joshua 1:9, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And it was kind of like, I'll be there.
Yeah.
And we just felt great comfort from those verses. So, yeah.
That's actually exactly what I was wondering. So thank you for answering that. What do you anticipate your role will look like at, remind me, it's Heliopolis
Community Church.
Yep. Yeah, what will that look like as compared to here at Friendship? Because I know here at Friendship you've been doing a lot more of the community work, lot more of the care side of things. Will that be any different there?
It is a pastoral position, so my title is senior pastor, even though there's no other pastors there. It is a
senior over yourself, I guess.
I guess. There is a part-time youth pastor,
okay,
and a part-time administrative assistant. But it's a church of about 150 or so members, so much smaller, but my role will be basically pastoral. So I'll be in charge of preaching, primarily leading the worship, coordinating ministries, and they have a bunch of volunteer coordinators, about 8 or 10 different ministries that they have with volunteers over them, and so that'll be sort of the volunteer staff that I'll supervise to. But because it's a smaller church, we're also partners with Resonate Global Mission, which has two families in that church.
Okay.
And they have ministries outside the church. And so they are hopeful that we will also be able to do some ministry with them, which is kind of exciting because they're doing work of equipping like local pastors and have some visions for working with the Egyptian pastors there, as well as doing other kinds of theological education by extension in the region. So one of the teammates travels to Sudan and before the war into Lebanon and so forth to train Christian leaders there. So there's a chance that could be something that we could do.
That's really exciting. Mm-hmm. That sounds like you'll definitely have your hands full, but sounds like a good time. What do you think is going to be just some of the most practical day-to-day life changes, whether that's, you know, the way traffic works or shopping works? I know, in Uganda, you know, they drive on the other side of the road, and
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they drive on the British side of the road.
Okay.
And I know that one of the biggest things is they're aggressive drivers. We'll put it that way. Chicago drivers got nothing on Kampala drivers. and so I'm just curious, if I know you've only been there, you know, to visit very briefly, but wondered if you had any insight on just what might be the most tangible day-to-day life changes.
Well, for one, they still do drive. They drive on the right side of the road over there.
Oh,
so
really?
We don't have to adjust to that.
That's
but
nice.
We probably will not have a car. That's going to be a biggest adjustment. Mm. So it's very easy to get around with public, and we can Uber or taxi our way throughout the city. And there's a lot. We're right in the city, living in an apartment complex, and a lot of our stuff is going to be walking distance. So
that's lovely.
They said to us, buy good shoes because you're going to be walking a lot. So we can walk. It's about 5-6 minute walk to the grocery store, and then maybe take an Uber back with the groceries.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And just, I guess, finding our little shops in the area that we're going to need, the pharmacy, haircuts, all that kind of stuff.
Are you going to have to learn Arabic?
We don't have to, but we want to.
Yeah.
And we are learning it now. Our kids
bought
us.
Blessings on you.
Yeah. our kids bought us a subscription to an online Arabic class. So
nice.
We've been doing that. And it's kind of fun.
It's a really interesting language. I took a little bit of Hebrew in college. Mm-hmm. And I had one friend who was actually, he used to work in Egypt as well. He'd okay. retired missionary. And so he was taking this Hebrew class, and he kept commenting on how similar this is to Arabic. And that was just a really... really interesting. So it's a really fascinating language, Arabic.
It is fascinating. And they read from right to left, or they write it from right to left.
So you won't have to be driving backwards, but you'll be reading backwards.
That's right. And you can go on Duolingo and get a free app to learn this. Mm-hmm. And they do a good job of teaching you the sounds and the basic alphabet. So we started there, and then we got this other one that my kids bought us. And so, but it is a very foreign language. It's not, there's no... It's not like a European language where there are some similarities and recognizable words.
It's just
words.
Completely different.
It's completely different. And so that part's hard.
But it's a cool growth opportunity. Mm-hmm. You certainly wouldn't get an opportunity to learn a language like that.
Right.
Like just every day here.
Yeah. That's and I love languages. I think it's fascinating and fun. So I look forward to that.
Yeah. So when you aren't doing pastoral work and when you aren't... learning Arabic, and when you're not doing stuff like that, do you have any idea what people in Cairo do for free time and for fun? I know you've done beekeeping here. Do you know if that's something you'll be able to continue doing?
They
probably
do.
Not.
I
really?
Did Google that, and there are beekeepers, hobby beekeepers in Egypt.
Oh, wonderful.
So, I mean, the Egyptians have it on their hieroglyphic wall writings. They've done beekeeping
for centuries.
Yeah,
they kind of kick-started the
they
whole
did.
Thing, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, so... I don't know what that would look like and if that's a possibility, but I'm wanting to explore that. And then while we were there, we noticed they have pickleball courts.
Really? No kidding.
So
the universal game, I guess.
Could be in our future. And it sounds crazy, but it's only a little over an hour drive to the Red Sea. And so people go there to go to the beach. And a little bit further south, you can get some amazing snorkeling. So that's an outlet.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you guys will be able to take a few of those days to kind of relax when you're not being crazy in the city. Because Cairo's a big city. How big is it?
You know, I've looked at different places. And it depends where you draw the lines. It's like, what's the population of Grand Rapids proper versus Grand Rapids metro with Wyoming and Granville and all that. So it's anywhere from 17 to 20 million. It's kind of an estimate.
That's a big city.
Yeah, it's a big city. And in the rankings, I'm told it's either first or in the top three of largest cities in Africa.
Wow.
So it's big.
It's big.
And it has a lot of diversity. Like there's big, you know, poverty neighborhoods, and then there's some really wealthy places.
Right. Well, and even like it's kind of on the crossroads between like you've got the Middle East on the one side, you've got North Africa on the other, and then you've got, you know, Ethiopia down as far all the way down to Uganda with the Nile.
Yeah.
So like kind of the crossroads of civilizations in a lot of ways.
It is. And it's a unique country that way because they are on the continent of Africa and they identify as North African, but their culture is very Middle Eastern. Mm-hmm. And so with the Arab world and so forth. So they have it's a real blended, mixed kind of a country.
Mm, that would be so cool. Mm-hmm. So then, as you're getting ready to go, how can people here be praying for you? Specifically, wondering about the move itself, and then your future work with the church, and then with your family as a whole. Because obviously, like you were saying earlier, they're really important part of this decision.
Sure. Logistics are important. We pray that we get a good renter. We hope to keep our house. We have to pack it all up and find storage and get rid of certain things. And so just the logistics of that, we appreciate prayers for that. Even down to what do we do with our old cat?
Yeah. Yeah.
And anybody want an old cat? He's a lovely cat, but it is a challenge. Anyway, and then I guess just getting our hearts ready and preparing us for the next step and not knowing exactly what that looks like.
Yeah.
And the third thing is like the big piece emotionally is that's the goodbyes for everybody. Yeah. And just prayers for kids and parents and family and friends.
Yeah.
As they have to go through their own transition. And that's a hard thing sometimes. You know, we make decisions that impact other people.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's the blessing and curse of living in the community of the body of Christ. Is that all of our actions impact everyone else.
Yeah. So,
if people want to learn more about what you're doing or support you while you're there, how can they do that? How can they get involved as you transition from pastoring to being in a missionary partnership.
Probably the best way to stay in touch would be to get us your email, because we're going to be communicating via emails, through prayer letters, newsletters. And email is very simple that way, because anyway, the snail mail doesn't work very well coming from Egypt, apparently. So everything's going to go by email,
yeah,
and it's secure. So let us know, and we'd love to include you in that list. Or for the short term, you can go to the Resonate Global Mission website. Okay. And actually, no, sorry, you can't do that. Because of security reasons, our little page is not listed.
Valid.
You can donate there, but you got to dig a little bit to even find us. So call me.
There you go. And if you happen to be listening to this at a time where Tim is no longer on the continent, reach out to me or someone else here at Friendship, right, and we'll figure it out. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for just the heart and the soul and the energy and the faith that you've put into shepherding here at Friendship. It's been an incredible blessing, I know, for me personally. And I know I'm speaking for a lot of other people. When you say thank you, you've really been such an important part of the Friendship community. And we're really going to miss you, but man, we're so excited to see what God's doing,
yeah,
and how he uses you in a totally different capacity. It's super exciting.
Thank you. And I appreciate this space that we've been able to share this podcast time. You really stretched me, as I said to you earlier. This is not my thing I grew up with, but it's been really fun, and with Dan to have these conversations, and with you, listeners, and yes, we appreciate your feedback. But yeah, it's been a real growing experience. Mm-hmm. We've loved our time here at Friendship. Mm-hmm. It really seems short, but we're excited to be your missionaries, the missionaries here from Friendship, and to stay connected, mm-hmm, and hopefully share the passion, the vision, and whatever God has for this ministry in Egypt. So
absolutely.
And I love being able to talk with you about it, because you have this international understanding.
It's a nice little treat. I love it.
It is.
Well,
fun.
Thank you so much again, Tim. Thank you, everyone who's been listening. We will be back again, hopefully next week, as we're continuing our Lenten series. And that should be with Pastor Dan. At least I'm assuming it'll be with Pastor Dan. But yeah, blessings on you all, and go with peace.